Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the New York Times Travel Section, read by Michelle Wexler. This is being recorded on April 12, 2024. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. Road Trips, How to Plan an Accessible Getaway, written by Siren Nagakairi. And now arriving at an airport lounge near you, Peloton Bikes, Nap Pods, and Caviar Service, written by Christine Chung, and following up with miscellaneous articles. We begin with the first article, Road Trips, How to Plan an Accessible Getaway, this written by Siren Nagakairi. Planning an accessible road trip is getting a little easier for people with disabilities. There are more resources created by and for the disability community, and the tourism industry is starting to recognize the value of accessible travel. As a disabled, chronically ill, neurodivergent person, I take road trips every year and have learned some tips and tricks along the way. Renting a vehicle. Most major car companies offer adaptive driving devices for their vehicles at no additional cost. Enterprise, for example, offers hand controls, left foot accelerators, pedal extenders, and spinner knobs to facilitate steering. Budget can provide hand controls, spinner knobs, a panoramic mirror, swivel seats, and transfer boards. Be prepared to request adaptive devices at least 3 business days in advance. For a wheelchair-accessible van with a ramp or a lift, rent from a mobility company like Braunability, one of the largest builders of wheelchair-accessible vans in the country, with rentals at many locations. Mobility Works, an accessible vehicle and adaptive equipment dealer, has rental locations in 34 states. Accessible Go, which offers a one-stop shop for adapted rental cars and wheelchair-accessible vans, has agreements with 100 wheelchair van rental locations nationwide. Request a quote on their website. For Accessible Geo's rental cars, you can request hand controls and a spinner knob at checkout. Route Planning. You can use Google Maps, Waze, and MapQuest for initial accessibility research using photos and Street View. Google Maps provides directions for some wheelchair-accessible pedestrian and transit routes. Sites such as Road Trippers and Furkot, F-U-R-K-O-T, can plot an entire itinerary. While these websites are not disability-specific, they are invaluable tools. Road Trippers does have a wheelchair-accessible checkbox in the search function. You can filter by types of destinations, such as national parks or museums, and search for hotels and campgrounds. Furkot allows you to input how long you want to drive each day, whether you want to travel on interstate highways or take more scenic roads. The app will determine the best route and length of time between stops and suggest where to stay overnight. Finding lodging. While hotels and other accommodations are required to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, many hotels do not meet all accessibility needs. Most of the booking sites list hotels with accessible rooms for those with mobility, hearing, and vision needs, but this information is not always verified. Do additional research on review sites and look for photos. Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton, and Fairmont hotels offer allergy-friendly and scent-free rooms in some locations. Call the hotel to verify accessibility and to make sure a specific room is reserved for you. Vacation rentals are typically not required to be ADA compliant, but some do provide accessibility information. Airbnb recently rolled out an adapted category with accessibility search features and homes that have been scanned for accessibility. Review photos and contact the host for more information. Some hosts will make accommodations, such as changing the cleaning supplies or shifting furniture, but document your request using the in-app messaging system so that customer service can help if you run into issues. Wheel the World is an accessible travel agency offering bookings at over 3,000 verified accessible hotels in the United States. The hotels have been reviewed in person by trained assessors. Only those that meet the criteria are listed. Sign up as a disabled traveler or a companion and complete a personal profile that includes options for a variety of disabilities and accessibility needs. The site will provide listings that match your profile with partial, adequate, and outstanding match options. Food and medication. There are a variety of options to keep food or medication cold while traveling. Electric coolers can plug into your vehicle's 12-volt outlet, but pay attention to the type of cooling mechanism. The less expensive versions are usually thermoelectric and will cool only to about 30 degrees below ambient temperature. If it is 70 degrees in the car, it will cool to 40 degrees. Compressor coolers are more expensive, but maintain normal refrigerated temperatures. Many hotels provide mini refrigerators. When you know you will be stopping somewhere with a fridge almost every night, layer large ice packs and supplies in a cooler, then top them with another insulating layer, like a cooling bag. This keeps everything cold for a couple of days at a time. It's also a good idea to travel with a single burner cooktop, electric to use inside, or propane to use at rest areas and campgrounds, and a camp mess kit so that you can safely cook meals. Some of the best apps to find food, restaurants, and grocery stores that accommodate dietary needs are Fig for allergy-specific options, Happy Cow for vegan-friendly options, and Find Me Gluten-Free for celiac-safe spots. Add your favorite options to the route planning app so that you know where to stop. Finding activities. In addition to the apps mentioned in the route planning section, state and local tourism organizations are good sources for accessible destinations. National parks and monuments, which are required to meet federal accessibility guidelines, typically have visitor centers and recreation sites with accessible features. Each park website has information as well as programs and services within the park. While accessibility varies, you can usually find information on wheelchair-accessible trails and campsites, tactile and audio features, assistive listening devices, and American Sign Language interpreters. At state parks, accessibility features may not be consistent, but you can usually find some information on each park's website. Apps like All Trails list wheelchair-friendly trails across the country, but the information may not be verified, so contact the park or land manager for verification. Among the parks with notable accessible trails are Redwood National and State Parks, North Cascades National Park, Badlands National Park, and Great Smoky Mountains National Park. That story, Road Trips, How to Plan an Accessible Getaway, written by Siren Nagakairi. Siren Nagakairi, the founder of the nonprofit Disabled Hikers and the author of the Disabled Hiker's Guide to Western Washington and Oregon and the Disabled Hiker's Guide to Northern California, among other guidebooks, leads group hikes and conducts assessments throughout the United States. And next up, now arriving at an airport lounge near you, Peloton bikes, nap pods, and caviar service. In recent months, a handful of exclusive credit card lounges have opened in airports in the United States. More are coming this year. This by Christine Chung. a handful of new lounges opened by credit card issuers, including Capital One and American Express, have recently landed in airports across the United States, promising posh spots of refuge for select travelers awaiting their flights. At LaGuardia Airport, caviar service will be available for pre-order. At Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, travelers can get complimentary massages. And at Denver International Airport, there are nap pods. In addition to amenities, the new lounges provide an ambiance reminiscent of a luxury hotel lobby, both in interior design and scale, and fit several hundred people at a time. Lounges have certainly gotten busier, so we've expanded our footprint, said Audrey Henley, president of American Express Travel, which in February opened its largest Centurion Lounge at 26,000 square feet at Hartsfield-Jackson, bringing its total number of lounges in the United States to 14. Broadly, there are three types of airport lounges available to travelers: airline-operated, shared-use spaces that aren't limited to one airline or frequent flyer status, think Priority Pass, and credit card lounges. Many are operated in partnership with lounge development companies. For more than a decade, American Express was the only credit card issuer with lounges in the United States. That changed last year when Chase Sapphire and Capital One each opened locations at major airports across the country, with plans to unveil a handful more in the coming years. The proliferation is driven in part by changing demographics and travel patterns of flyers today. This year may set a record for the number of air travelers, with an estimated 4.7 billion people expected to fly globally. According to a survey published last May by the polling firm Morning Consult, young travelers are more inclined than older generations to book travel with credit card loyalty programs, and those in the Gen Z age group in particular have signaled a declining loyalty to airline frequent flyer programs. While credit card companies saw opportunities to expand their brand awareness with lounges, the facilities also provide additional benefits to card members who pay hundreds of dollars in annual membership fees. Card fees range from $395 a year for a Capital One Venture X to $695 for an American Express Platinum. Here are the latest highlights of new credit card lounges from around the country. Chase Sapphire Lounge by The Club. Domestic locations: John F. Kennedy Airport's Terminal 4, LaGuardia Airport's Terminal B, Boston Logan International Airport by Gate B40. Forthcoming locations: San Diego International Airport, Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas, and Philadelphia International Airport. Who can use? Travelers with the Chase Sapphire Reserve, J.P. Morgan Reserve, or Ritz-Carlton credit cards who have activated their Priority Pass memberships. Those without these cards but who have Priority Pass can enter once a year. Chase Sapphire Reserve and J.P. Morgan Reserve cardholders can bring up to two guests per visit for free, and additional guests cost $27. Those with the Ritz-Carlton card can bring unlimited guests at no extra cost. What's on offer? Locally made draft beers and coffee, menus designed by local restaurants, private bathrooms with showers, and at LaGuardia Airport's 16,200-square-foot space spanning two floors, three suites with caviar service that can be reserved up to 72 hours before a flight, $2,200 to book. American Express Centurion. Domestic locations: Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, Charlotte Douglas International Airport, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Denver International Airport, George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, Los Angeles International Airport, Harry Reid International Airport, Miami International Airport, Kennedy Airport, LaGuardia Airport, Philadelphia Airport, Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, San Francisco International Airport, Seattle Tacoma International Airport. Forthcoming locations, Reagan National Airport later this year and Newark Liberty International Airport in 2026. Who can use? Eligible American Express cardholders and those with Delta's SkyMiles Reserve Card or Reserve Business Card. Details vary based on the card. Complimentary guest access depends on credit card use. American Express Platinum and Business Platinum card members who spend $75,000 or more a year can bring up to two guests in free per visit. What's on offer? A whiskey bar, phone booths and workstations, wellness rooms, food by local celebrity chefs, complimentary massages, game rooms, and wine tastings. Capital One. Domestic locations, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport's Terminal D, Denver Airport's Concourse A, Dulles International Airport's Main Terminal. Forthcoming locations, Harry Reid International Airport. Welcome to travelers, Venture X, and Venture X business card holders who can bring up to two guests per visit. Additional guests cost $45. All other travelers can pay $65 per visit to enter. What's on offer? A fitness room with Peloton bikes, nap pods, shower suites, small plate dining options, and grab-and-go food, luggage lockers, coffee bars. That story, now arriving at an airport lounge near you, Peloton bikes, nap pods, and caviar service. That story by Christine Chung. Christine Chung is a Times reporter covering airlines and consumer travel. And next up in 36 hours, Toronto by Ingrid K. Williams. Locals may insist, politely, of course, that Toronto doesn't belong atop any traveler's wish list. But don't fall for that Canadian modesty. Proudly multicultural, with an outstanding art scene, fantastic food, and a patchwork of diverse neighborhoods to explore, this sprawling city, Canada's most populous, has more to offer than one could possibly digest in a single weekend. But that's enough time to sample the local smorgasbord, from the many new restaurants and shops to the latest art exhibitions and a newly revitalized landmark theater. Anyone in town for Hot Docs, North America's biggest documentary festival, which begins on April 25th, will find plenty of reasons to roam beyond the downtown core, from the beaches in the east to drinking and dining hotspots that have sprouted in some unexpected places in the west. Itinerary Friday, 4 p.m., wander along the waterfront. Trillium Park, which opened in 2017 just west of Toronto's Inner Harbor, remains relatively uncrowded despite having an outstanding view of the skyline. From Queens Quay West, it's an easy half-hour walk to the park along the popular Martin Goodman Trail. Or rent a bicycle from one of the many bike share stations and pedal along the lakeshore. After admiring the view of the iconic CN Tower across the water, head back toward downtown, stopping at nearby Inukshuk Park with its 30-foot-high Inuit stone formation, and at the Toronto Music Garden, a grassy waterfront park where live performances take place during the summer. 6 p.m., enjoy a Chinese feast. Down the hallway of a nondescript mini-mall, a small handwritten sign on a door indicates you've found Sonny's Chinese. Since opening in the eclectic Kensington Market neighborhood in 2022, this buzzy spot has packed its mint-green booths with crowds hankering for a spicy family-style feast. On a recent visit, highlights included the spinach and chrysanthemum stem salad, $12 Canadian, or about $9, fiery dandan noodles, $19, and what a server said pays our rent, the sublime Hong Kong-style French toast layered with black sesame jam and oolong-infused condensed milk, $14. Couldn't nab a reservation? Try for a last-minute table at nearby Patois, a festive Caribbean-Asian restaurant with flaky Jamaican patties, $12, and jerk chicken chow mein, $27. 8 p.m., surround yourself in sound. In 2021, Torontonians applauded the reopening of Massey Hall, a landmark theater, after a 3-year renovation and modernization project. For over a century, this downtown concert hall has hosted top international performers, including Charlie Parker, Aretha Franklin, Gordon Lightfoot, and John Batiste. The revitalized theater is now part of a larger performing arts complex, the Allied Music Center, with a new music venue and recording studios in an adjacent building. But one thing that hasn't changed, the famously excellent acoustics. To hear for yourself, check the calendar for upcoming events, which include concerts by the Black Crows, the indie rock group Waxahachie, and the Canadian singer-songwriter Bruce Cockburn. Saturday, 10 a.m., swing by the farmer's market, then take a hike. A former quarry and brick factory have been repurposed as Evergreen Brick Works, a cultural community center northeast of downtown. People flock here on Saturdays for the year-round farmer's market, which reflects the diversity of the city itself. In addition to the usual market stalls, local cheeses, produce, fish, meat, and bread, many vendors sell prepared foods that include Persian baklava, Swedish pastries, and Tibetan momos. Try the beef ones doused with hot sauce, $11.50 for 5. Seating is available between the historic brick kilns, but in fair weather, grab your food to go and explore the trails snaking through the surrounding forested ravines. 12 p.m., explore two small museums. Many visitors prioritize the best-known museums, but that would mean missing niche standouts like the Gardiner Museum, which specializes in the artistry and craft of ceramics. Inside, explore ancient figures from Mesoamerican cultures and contemporary sculptural vases depicting polar animals by the Inuit ceramicist Roger Aksajuak. Admission $15. Afterward, stroll along the Philosopher's Walk, a nearby path through the leafy St. George campus of the University of Toronto. Then continue to the Bata Shoe Museum, another oft-overlooked institution, where an unexpectedly fascinating 2-floor exhibit traces the history of what we put on our feet. Admission $14. 2:30 p.m., shop for hard-to-find titles and handmade treasures. Little Portugal is packed with quirky independent shops and galleries, many conveniently clustered along Dundas Street West. Start at Easy Tiger Goods, a sunny boutique that sells pastel taper candles and cute made-in-Toronto ceramics. Peruse the rare print titles at Issues Magazine Shop, then shop for hand-crocheted coasters and embroidered tote bags at Etc. Home. Consider investing in an artwork at Zoll Art Gallery, a cavernous space that opened last October, showcasing paintings, photographs, sculptures, and fashion from contemporary Iranian artists. Later, continue farther down the street to Bad Attitude Bread, a vegan bakery, for an old bay-seasoned cheddar-flavored biscuit, $5, and to Milky's, a cool cafe nearby, for a spiced maple syrup latte, $6.50. 4 p.m., get a snapshot of contemporary Toronto art. An excellent primer on what's happening in the city's art scene is now on display at the Museum of Contemporary Art Toronto, in a former factory building in the Lower Junction Triangle neighborhood. The current exhibition, Greater Toronto Art 2024, is the second installment of the museum's triennial and features a range of artworks, performances, and installations, including photographs by the American-born artist June Clark of her adopted home of Toronto in the 1970s and 80s, a site-specific greenhouse installed by the Brooklyn-based Canadian artist Lotus L. Kang, and a series of sculptural drawings traced from an heirloom Persian Persian rug from the Iraqi-born Canadian artist Sukaina Kuba. Through July 28th, admission $14. And that's all we have time for. Thank you for joining us for the New York Times Travel Section, read by Michelle Wexler.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.